There we go. So, I am just finishing up this series of sermons. We were talking about before the Last Supper, before Jesus, as he was coming in. Then we looked at the Last Supper last week, and we found out that there were some discrepancies about it that actually caused problems with Jews when you talk to them, because they will make fun of you, saying you don't understand what's going on. Today, I have what is called after it was finished, because that was his last words, it is finished. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened after that? Okay, so we're going to look at it. It's Luke 24, 13 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now this comes right after Mary. Actually, there was a couple of Marys and others, women who went to anoint him, and he's not there. And so, same day, two of them go into the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still with their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a powerful prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But they had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels that said, but they didn't see him. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're here tonight. We thank you for your word that we can study and learn more and more about you. Help us to be good servants. Help us to be good students of your word. And just go with us in all we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I put initial thoughts. This is the first of three major appearances that happened after the resurrection. The second one is in the upper room, and it's the only one that was in all four Gospels. Okay? They don't have this in anything but Luke. The only one that they have is in all four Gospels is in the upper room. And that happens twice, by the way. The third is in Galilee after a night of fishing. And that's only found in John. This one encapsulates all the errors that were made by the Jews about Messiah. First of all, they thought they had the wrong guy. Here it is. They've been following this guy around. They've been learning from him. And he gets crucified. Now, what are you going to think? Well, now, wait a minute. If this was Messiah, could they crucify him? And, of course, Jesus himself said in the Garden of Gethsemane, don't you think I could call 12 legions agents right now and wipe these guys slick? Don't worry about it. It's just the way it's supposed to be. They hoped he would redeem Israel. That's what they said. We had hoped he would redeem Israel. And what they meant by that was that he would bring Israel back into prominence, that they would be their own country, and that he would rule it, and the Jews would be in charge of everything. But now he's dead. Okay, that's kind of a bummer. The women said he was alive, but the men couldn't find him. Now we're talking back in biblical times, and men don't trust women. Okay, you can't take that with anything. Secondly, they misunderstood the first coming. They didn't understand that Christ had to suffer. Now, there is a controversy as to whether or not the Jews actually refused to read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Pat has heard this guy, Dennis Prager, and he said that's not actually true. But what we know is that they avoid it like the plague because they don't understand it. What is this? This can't be Messiah, can it? But it says it's the servant, the messenger, the guy that God's sending. We don't understand because that whole chapter is about Jesus getting the crap beat out of him and dying. They missed the Lamb of God. Now, John the Baptist told them, as Jesus came to be baptized, he screamed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the earth." And it's like, oh. But see, it was all there, but nobody wanted to see it because what they wanted was King David, kick butt, take names, take over. He had completed his mission for that trip. It just turns out that there are two trips. The one they liked is about to come. But the one they didn't like, they just blew it off. One of the things we learned in Gideon's is if you can get a Bible, the New Testament, into the hands of Jewish people, very often you will hear a very loud exclamation, "Oh Lord, he came and we missed him." What did we think? Once you get them reading the Word of God, that's it. They're going, "Yeah, I know what it says, and yes, he did it."
Some of them opened their eyes, and some of them.
Yes.
Just like the rest of us.
Now, what they wanted, as I said, was they wanted the mighty king. They wanted the guy who was going to take over and be king of the world. Mm-hmm. Now, today, as we look around, we say it'd be hard to be king of the world. I mean, the world's kind of a big place, and it's round. There's always somebody on the opposite side of the world from you, and they're going to be hard to control. Not for Jesus. He's the son of David. We know that both of his mother and his adoptive father, Joseph, were of the tribe of Judah. He is going to conquer the world. but he hasn't got there yet. But you will notice that there's an effect that Jesus has, even if you don't know it's him. Their hearts were burning because of his truth. I have always told the Lord, Lord, I want you to give me the ability to preach in such a manner that people's hearts will be burning. And he said, that's for me, not for you. You're not Jesus. Okay, that's cool. They returned to Jerusalem, even at night. They knew it was him when he broke the bread. Because Jesus is the bread of life. Because when he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, it was the breaking of the bread and the breaking of the fish and the feeding of the people. That's when they knew it. And they will never again be dissuaded of who he is. They went all the way back to Jerusalem and they said, he's alive. I saw him. That's the guy. Okay? Don't be telling these women they don't know what they're talking about. I saw him. He's alive. As they said, he's alive. So what about us? Well, do we know Jesus when we see him? Jesus says you recognize the spirit of the people you're dealing with. Do you recognize Jesus when you see him? Do you recognize not Jesus and leading you in the wrong direction? If you get close to Jesus, you will always recognize him. And you will always recognize when you're being pulled in the wrong direction. Do our hearts burn when we read his words? Mine do. I'll tell you that right now. I get in and I start doing Paddleton. If I get in doing a sermon, I may not be back for hours because I love it. I love the Word of God. Do we understand what he did that first visit? His purpose of coming in the first visit was to tell the people who had been burdened with all this crap, hey, God loves you and he has a plan for your life. All he wants from you is to love him back and do your best. That's all he's worried about. Are we so sure that we cannot be dissuaded? There used to be a thing that went around. It hasn't been doing it so much lately, but I think it's a good question for us to think about. If it became against the law to believe in Jesus, would there be enough evidence against you to convict you? Well, they get me fast. Because if somebody tells me I can't talk about Jesus, I'm going out on the street and start telling everybody. Right? Kill me now. Whatever. I don't care.
Just like Peter.
What he did is finished. What we are instructed to do goes on. He was here to give his life to pay the price for all the sin that had ever been, all the sin that was in the world then, and all the sin that would ever be. It's done. When he said, it is finished, he don't mean I'm finished. I always said, I bet he had a big grin on his face. It's like, in your face, Satan, I win. He had completed his mission. But we're instructed to go out and tell everybody about it. Now, the big thing that I also always love to say is God never told you that you have to lead people to Jesus. The fact is, the Holy Spirit does that. He said, you are to go out and tell people about Jesus. If I tell somebody about Jesus and they hear what I say and they think to themselves, is this right? The Holy Spirit now has an opening. He can jump in there and he can say, yes, that's right. When he returns, they're going to get their mighty king and son of David. As I say, Tom Skinner was a famous preacher, and he's always said, Jesus, when he comes back, is not going to take sides. He's going to take over. Okay? There will only be one side. We need to be ready when he does. Now, I'm old, so I may not make it. But I get to come back with him. You know, some of the younger ones, you may actually be here when it comes. That's going to be a trip. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to have our hearts burning when we read your word. Help us to know you when we see you and know it's not you if it's not. Help us to remember that we haven't done anything. You did it all. All we're told to do is tell about it. Go with us as we go out on the street and tell as many people as we possibly can about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys. Thank you.